Hello, welcome back to Slimming World Podcast. I'm delighted to have you listening to us, and happy September. Apparently there's something you're meant to do for good luck at the start of a month, but I think we've missed it, Anna.
I think we have, and I don't like being pinched or punched, so we could swerve by that one.
Okay, I like you enough. I don't need to pinch or punch you. But there's something about that kind of that new feeling that we get in September. We've covered this in previous Septembers. And the subject of today's podcast really, I suppose, does pack a punch, to play on that pun. This idea of why wait until the new year. Often we wait for new year to do those resolutions. We say, I'll be happy when, I'll do it when. We put all these whens in our life, when actually, what is there something that we could do today? And so that's the subject that we're going to use and kind of get into. But Anna, we have, we kind of buy one, get one free on today's guests, if that's the right phrase. How would you put it?
I mean, I think we get double the experience today. That's what I'm going to say. We are getting it from every angle. We have got a powerhouse of two people today, not just one.
Okay, we're going to fly down the M5 and we're going to go to Bristol, and we are going to meet Sam and Sophie, who are Slimming World's two together title winners. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, great.
Really well.
Nice. You were announced as it's a new title. I hope I've got this right, Anna. There's two together. So it's kind of moved away from the couple of the year, but for two together. And you are the first title owners. I mean, do you get to like engrave like the first ever trophy? I don't know what happens with your new title of two together. What happens?
They get a brick at head office. No, I don't know. Like, you're now part of the building. That's something that's going to happen. It's such a special award, though, because it is the first time it's ever happened, and it's a new progressive award. So not only have you won such a lovely award, but you're like, you'll never be forgotten. You'll be in that history. That, I don't know if you've seen the Hall of Fame at Slimming World head office.
We have all that. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be part of that now, aren't you?
Yeah, can we?
So there's your story talks about you really being a great team. It talks about the fact that together you've lost 13 stone. But why don't you take us back? Looking at this subject today about, you know, why wait until the new year? What was life like for both of you on that day that you decided, I'm going to make that first move, we're going to do something about this? Take us back to what your life was like then.
We were both sort of living at home, or you're with your mum and dad. I was living with my sister at the time. I had moved in with my sister during COVID, and just to help out with rent and make things easier. But we had both reached a stage in our lives where we had sort of been in a relationship for 3 years, and slowly the sort of eating out, the dating life had caught up on us, along with sort of other lifestyle changes where we'd slowly gained weight, and it got to a stage where we were a bit like, okay, we definitely need to make a change. And my parents had started going to Slimming World with the sort of support of, or encouragement of, my auntie, which was done on a family holiday 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was a conversation on a family holiday, a bit like, ah, why don't you come along and give it a go? And they went in the sort of July, and we'd signed up then in the January.
And how's life since you joined? So you joined in January 2023, and life has transformed, because you're both always very active, weren't you? But then there was a back injury. There's lots going on. I mean, how, if you look at life in January 2023 physically and now where you're at now, is there a huge difference? There must be.
Yeah, it's been monumental, really. I think that first sort of 6 to 9 months where everything was going really, really fast, and it just showed how well we were progressing. We weren't living together at the time. We still had very much our own lives to be dealing with. So to be able to do it together and have the support of each other, this last year has gone ridiculously fast, I think. And it just goes to show how much of a difference it can make. Well, a year is not actually that long, I don't think. It can go in a blink of an eye, and I think we've made such a big lifestyle change in that time. You know, years to come are going to be completely different from now.
Yeah, sort of. Soph had reached Target within 9 months, and I was sort of 11 months, I think, to Target. And in the sort of 9 months since then, we've ended up buying our first place together.
Get engaged, so.
Get engaged. We had the photo shoot with the magazine, but also we've had then the sort of national competition win as well. So it's really been quite this wave that we're very much riding and seeing where it takes us.
Trying to keep myself above it.
And obviously now on the podcast as well.
I mean, your life's made today, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah,
it's all
now the
come for this
moment.
moment. But do
Kill
you know,
off.
yeah, do you know, 12 months you have gone from, you know, like I've read in your story, you know, not feeling great physically because you had a back injury, didn't you?
Yeah.
And feeling like life was quite difficult to now just, you strike me as having so much energy and so much zest for life. Do you think losing that weight has allowed that to kind of come out?
Yeah, I think it's completely different. I mean, I was really struggling with just the day-to-day life, I think. I think I wasn't eating properly, I wasn't making the right decisions, and I kind of thought that being active kind of put a plaster on it, and it was just, oh, it's fine because I'm doing things still and I'm active still. But actually, I was crying on the side of a football pitch because I physically couldn't do it. I was sleeping upright because I had so many struggles. I thought, well, actually, this doesn't add up. My maths isn't right here. There was obviously something else that had to be done in there.
And I think for me, it's the speed at which the changes sort of came. So I've always likened it to taking the sort of weight off your shoulders, metaphorically and physically. But within sort of 6 to 10 weeks type thing, the ease or the weight off of myself, and it made the sort of mobility better. It stopped aching on a morning. I stopped limping. And that was only after having lost sort of 2 or 3 stone, and now pushing 8 stone or having lost 8 stone, it completely different. I sort of speed at which I move around the football pitch and we walk, just it makes the day-to-day life so much easier. You don't sort of walk up the stairs at work and sit down at your desk panting and sweating through a freshly ironed shirt and stuff like that. It is quite a substantial change, and it's little things that you didn't notice necessarily to begin with, but you look back now and think, oh, okay, like your skin's less oily, you don't break out as often.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, the sweating's considerably less, but for Soph's benefit, the snoring.
Oh, crikey. Oh, it was so bad. I always said that Sam sounded like a chainsaw arguing with a train. It
Oh.
was, I feel, don't get me wrong, I'm glad it doesn't happen now, but it was, you really struggled, didn't you? And I think I was more worried because I was like, I don't think no sound should be coming out of another person, let alone the person that I'm actually trying to sleep next
And
to.
it got so bad that Soph was sleeping with earplugs and stuff like that. And a lot of it was happening in what was a new relationship. So having to
It
sort
put him
of,
through the test, didn't it? For sure.
I think I'd wake up having had a real restful night, and Soph would look at me like, sleep well, did you? Great. Because I did not. And I'm like, sorry about
That's all stopped now. You can, you
that.
don't,
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
nothing
completely
at all.
gone. Completely gone.
Literally nothing at all. I think that was the one thing that I don't think you realize how much of an impact. Of course, it has an impact in your day-to-day life because you can physically see it. You know, you're in the moment, seeing the struggle, feeling the struggle. But at night, while you're asleep, you don't notice that it's that bad. And I think, well, you would never know it, would you? You would never know how much your body's sort of trying to do its normal thing, and it's just not, it's not doing it. It's not, you know, you're not doing what's right for you.
It's made a massive change. It just makes everything that a little bit easier. And
Wow, that's a mood killer right there, isn't it? Well done for sticking with him.
unreal determination to see it through.
Something in your story talks a lot about your both your passion and your love for sport, not just for watching, enjoying, but also for playing. There was a phrase which really caught my eye, and I remember when myself and Anna have spoken to parents before as well. They've used a similar phrase where they said that they felt like they weren't taking part in life. They were just a spectator. I imagine there may be people listening right now who I know I've been there. It feels like all of a sudden you're just gradually like fading backwards rather than being in life. And it just kind of creeps up without you even realizing where you don't want to have your photo taken. You know, another part of your story was seeing a photo of yourself with your family. And that was a bit of a like a jolt moment of, wow, that's what we look like. That was the thing that made me join Slimming World, seeing a photo. What was that like seeing that photo? And I guess now you've done these magazine shoots and flipping heck, you guys look like rock stars.
Oh, thank you very much, firstly. That's very kind. I think especially Sam's family, not so much mine, they're very social. So, you know, there's lots of gatherings, there's lots of, you know, spending time together, which is always paired with a photo to remember the memory. I'm always the one behind the picture, or especially preferred to be. And then we had one all together, didn't we? And I thought, you could have seen me in the background. I didn't need to be at the front of that picture. You know, I would have definitely have been visible in the back. I remember seeing it and thinking, oh, I take up a lot of this foreground in this picture. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know how I feel about seeing so much of me. And I think I looked at it and, you know, you remember that specific memory, but you also think, oh, crikey, I wish I wasn't in that picture. I wish it was just, you know, you remember that day. And whereas, don't get me wrong, now I look at it and I think, you know, I remember the memory more than anything from the time because of how far we've come now. But pictures are such an instant reminder, aren't they, of anything, you know, what you were going through at the time or what was happening that day. And I think that was it for me. I was like, wow, that's intense. That's an intense feeling to have for yourself. I think it really made a difference when we recreated that photo a year later. So we're in the same position, the same seat, the same everything. And it was quite a monumental comparison, really, wasn't it? Because it was, everything was identical. We just looked
half the people. Yeah,
literally, like that there was like colour in our cheeks and we were happier. You could see we were healthier. And I think although we were happy, like we're both very extroverted, very outgoing, I suppose quite confident people in a general, aren't we? But your weight and stuff like that is quite a quick insecurity to have, especially in something so visual. So I think seeing the difference in that picture a year later was quite eye-opening. I was like, wow, what a decision we've made. You know, we've added so much to this life that we have now. Yeah. And it was just evidence of it, really.
Oh, what an amazing thing. I remember feeling in photos, I wanted to blend in. Like, you know how you said you were just like the focus of it. You didn't want to be that. You just wanted to be the person at the back.
I mean, so speaking on photographs, one of the things that you started, Sam, and then Sophie's come involved, is you have a social media account where you take photos of you and you rate different benches. Quite simple. And you can see over your accounts where it's showing that you are taking up less space, I guess, on the benches. That's quite a physical thing, isn't it? You know, the idea of people sitting on a bench and taking up space. Has that been quite an interesting way to document the changes that you've done in, you know, to kind of, I mean, we often talk about certificates and stickers and numbers on scales, but that feels like a very different way to do like a, I guess, a non-scale victory, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the one thing with that page is I think it really shows how over sort of a year, the transformation from sitting on a bench and one of the main desires being a support in the middle, because I really needed that bench to be sort of safe and secure when sitting down because I was concerned of breaking things, to now being sort of, I can sit on any bench, I'm not too concerned, I take up less space. And
yeah.
See, the bench analogy is interesting in that a bench is there as a place for you to rest, to get a bit of support, to take the pressure off. And one of the things that also jumped out in your story was how important having support was during your journey. So you are group members, you know, you have obviously got your family who were there who understand food optimizing, but you're also going to your group, you've got your consultant and other group members. What kind of support did you need as you both lost weight? What were you able to get from the group?
I honestly think it's as simple as just being there. You know, you've got all the books, you've got your consultant, you've got the information. But I feel like it's really underrated how simple it is just turning up. You know, you go, you know, there's some people in that group that that day, that week, they probably need you more than you need them. You know, we're all in different walks of life. Some people get terrible weeks for unknown reasons, you know, and you sit in that group, you have a cup of tea or your coffee, you put the scales behind you, you know, it's a fresh start. And I think that's why we go so much. I think that's why we stay and still go, because that's such a little thing, which is also so big. I don't think it's comparable in anything else other than that's ultimately the best support you can get, just in with your group, your consultant, your friends, just as a general, I think.
And for us, we lost weight really quickly. So when it came to that first time where you step on the scales and you've ended up with a gain, suddenly it feels like everything's falling apart and you're a bit like, oh, I really messed up. Is this it now? Am I going to sort of gain next week and stuff? But I think we may have had tears as well. But I think essentially the people around you at group are there just like, this is a lifelong journey. You've sort of started. It's not about losing weight every week. It's about sort of enforcing the positive habits. And with that, we were able to be like, oh, okay, the world's not falling down. Everything's not coming to an end. You may have just had sort of a, I'm going to call it a loose week, where we weren't fully food optimized. And I think it's one of those that you need the people around you in group, just be like, it's not that big.
I think I can remember I definitely cried on my first game. It was always going to be me. I knew he wasn't going to say it, but it was always going to be me. And I remember stepping on that scale and I was so anxious about it, because I knew that although we relied on other people in that room for support, people obviously looked at us as well, naturally, because that's what happens. And I was so like, they're going to think I'm a fraud. Like, I relied on myself so much. And I stepped on the scale, and Jill, who's our weigh lady, has been a massive part in our journey anyway. She looked at me and I knew she saw I was upset, and she went, oh, it's all right, babe, don't worry about it. And I went, really? Like, and she was like, you know, it's just another week. And I was like, oh, all right, fair enough. And I think that kind of wiped it away. And I mean, instantly. I don't think I had ever felt such a clean slate, just like, it's fine. You know, you go again. And I think that was really it. You know, you need to be remembered that actually it's not, there's different things that happen all the time. You can't always control those variables, but you just get back on the horse, don't you?
Yeah, and obviously the other thing I agree with, the massive benefit is you get to listen to the sort of body magic, image therapy. Here we go.
He's with all the lingo now. Are you playing bingo or something? You can get the most terms in.
I'm terrible for names, for anything. I'm like, remember that. But yeah, so you sit there, you get the image therapy, you talk with like-minded individuals, you share recipe ideas. There's always a raffle. Love the raffle. We had a really good streak of winning Slimmer of the Week, the raffle, to begin with, and we've not won it for a little while. But the raffle's always great. There's always just so much positivity and sort of vibrance with our group.
Yeah,
it's just that whole, you surround yourself with positive, like-minded people, and the results sort of speak for themselves. We stay to group every week. I think we're week 78. And unless we're on holiday or we have something planned, like we're going away, if we can weigh in, we stay.
I think it's one of those, and You're never going to leave the room worse than when you went in. You know, you're never going to go in, have that bad weigh in or the weigh in that you thought you were really dreading. You're not going to walk out the same because you've probably forgotten about it after you've had a cup of tea and a chat with some of the people that you know.
And it's a really good time to sort of reflect as well. So reflect on the week and planning for the week ahead. So if you've had a week or you stepped on the scale, you're like, oh,
Yeah.
didn't see that one coming. But then you sit down and you're like 5 minutes later, kind of a bit more like, oh, okay. Yeah, there's a few sort of
Yeah,
pesky sins that
bite you in
weren't,
the bum.
yeah, you didn't account for. You were sort of eating the rest on the spoon and the cake, the tea, the biscuits you've had at tea at work, and the jar that just kept calling to you. You sort of reflect on it, like, okay, that's fine. No, I understand where I went wrong this week. And obviously, it is that journey. You know, next week you may do things a little different, but also you sit there and we've got sort of an hour listening to people chatting, but also plan recipes, what we're going to do this week. We know that we're going to the shops after we've been into group. Pretty much a Saturday morning routine.
Yeah.
We weigh in, have a cup of tea,
Yeah.
stay for sort of image therapy, and then go shopping so that we know on a Saturday morning we've loaded the fridge with everything that we need to see us through the week, and it just starts you on the right foot. So it's a bit like starting your week on a Saturday almost,
Yeah.
and then rather than sort of ending it on a Saturday or a Friday evening, we start it there and just see it through and just put ourselves in the right sort of frame of mind for the week ahead.
Oh, do you know what you're saying? Things I've got a Saturday morning group, and I love all of my groups. But do you know what you're talking about? You see these gorgeous members. I can think about six of them in my head who do exactly what you do. They come in, they get everything planned, they get that motivation. And I love seeing them walk out of group ready to attack the week. But I think you said something so profound before, how sometimes it's the people in the room that need you more than you need them. And I think that's where group can be so key, because some weeks, like the week where you had the game, you needed your team, didn't you? But other weeks, you just need to share with people the fact that you may be further ahead than they are, and you know what they've got to come. So I think what you found is the true spirit of what image therapy was about, was the support of like-minded people coming together to have a good time as well. Like I don't think people get this, but in my groups, and indeed Slimming World all over the country, we laugh an awful lot. We talk about gorgeous food and we make friends. And I think that's so underrated how that will make such a profound difference to long-term weight loss success. Do you know what I mean? So I just love hearing your enthusiasm for it. As a consultant, that's like, yes, we've done it right, which is a lovely thing to
Yeah.
hear.
Yeah, we love
Oh. Let's talk food, okay? Because people listen to this might be like, okay, I'm in. I need to know more about this food optimizing thing. Talk about some of the things that maybe you were eating before you joined Slimming World, and what are you eating now? I'm curious.
think right at the time we started Slimming World, I had just changed office jobs. Before, I was not eating breakfast. I was definitely having pastries at work. You know, I'm not gonna deny that. I definitely was doing that. And then it was like, you know, a meal deal from the shops, you know, probably with an energy drink or a fizzy drink or something like that. And then, you know, biscuits and snacks in the afternoon to probably a takeaway for my tea. So it definitely wasn't the options I should have been making. You know, it wasn't the best decisions, but I never thought I was a breakfast person. Almost convinced myself that I wasn't a breakfast girl. Like, it's not something that I ever sort of got on very well with. Whereas now, I love a Cheerios. I love a bowl of Cheerios.
We're not naming any brands.
Other cereal hoops
Hoop,
are available,
right?
yes.
Yeah. Some multi-grain hoops. And it's just, we're very much in that routine now. If I will have the same breakfast for a decent amount of time because I know it works for me. You know, I have a nice salad for lunch or something like that. And then we love Asian food, don't we? So anything that's like stir fries with a lot of vegetables or curries and things like that, really.
And the one problem with an office job compared to anything else, you graze through the day. And I've always been somebody, if I'm bored, I get up and make a cup of tea and rummage around and start sort of rifling through cupboards. If I was at home, I'd do the same. So in an office where there's biscuits and cakes, I have a tendency just to sort of go rummaging. But again, I would have probably two breakfasts. So I would have a bowl of cereals and wash that or chase that down with sort of toast with peanut butter and banana, and then a couple of cups of coffee with sugar. And for lunch, anything from sort of meal deals, but I'd always go for what I felt was value for money. So it'd be the biggest sandwich I could
Triple
find, a
sandwich.
triple sandwich. So triple sandwich any day, packet of crisp. And if I could find sort of a reduced brownie, it'd be a reduced brownie in the drink. And then on an evening, it'd be sort of, I grew up as well as five. So it was a case of if you finish your plate fastest, you could have seconds. And that just stayed with me. So I'd always have one plate and then have a second plate of food. I mean, it'd be bigger than the first plate. So I think it's one of those you kind of kid yourself that, I don't eat that badly, but you've not accounted for anything calorie wise, sim wise, weighing or measuring anything. And I think that sort of profound change of being like, right, you can eat your cereal, you can have your toast, but it needs to be within a certain amount of allowances. So sort of your cereal was 40 grams typically with fat-free yogurt and stuff like that. I think it's those little changes where suddenly you've gone from uncontrolled, just gorging on big bowls of cereal, sugary cereal, to sort of weighing and measuring it. It's a real big difference. And it's only a subtle difference because the rest of what you're cooking and eating is probably similar. But you suddenly start controlling these sort of variables in the controllables and you really start to reel it back in. Lunch, as so said, we love trying social media trends. At the moment, we're big on those chopped salads.
I
We're
love it.
not covering it in mayonnaise or whatever, but it's mostly sort of vinaigrettes and feta, red onion, smash all in together, a bit of protein. And then tea wise, yeah, we cook a lot at home. It's a chance just to sort of catch up. And I just like being in the room where it's cooking. I like having that watchful eye. So I know that if so sneaking a bit, I can sneak a bit too. It's all about balance and being equal.
I love you too. Do you know you said something that again struck a chord with me? You know, the meal deals that you were having, this is fascinating. They are probably more calories than you're eating in a full day now, food optimizing that one meal and making such a small change, if you like, is how you've lost so much weight. And I'm thinking the money you must be saving, because I know for me, the convenience food, the takeaways was really stacking up money wise. I mean, this fresh cooking and planning, even with two dinners that you're eating, must have saved you a fortune.
One of those that can never figure out how much you've saved, but it's what you do find is that you're not sort of scrapping around for change, being like, well, I could get a fix of a meal deal. I already eat my lunch earlier. I'm going to go eat your second meal deal and stuff like that. That's happened plenty of times in the past. But it I think it's one of those that because you plan everything, you know what you're spending. And each month, I'm a murderer for a spreadsheet. So every month, I'm sort of planning out our food allowance or money allowance, and we go shopping and we stick to it. We don't then be like, turn to sort of a money pot and be like, oh, it's a Friday. I'm going to get a takeaway. We're going to get pizza and stuff like that. It just doesn't happen. We were sort of sat together the other evening and we were talking about sort of takeaways. And in the year that we had been in our sort of new property, we think we've only ever had food delivered once.
I
And
think so. That was the when we moved
that
in.
was the first week we moved in because we hadn't had our fridge hadn't been delivered and stuff like that. So it's just not something we do anymore. We take far more sort of enjoyment cooking together than we do ordering food in and then just chucking it all in the bin.
I think that's the hard part though for some people is that convenience threatens that, or well, it's the temptation of it.
Money,
You know, you go into the shops, and if you're walking around the shops, you know, a bag of cookies is £1, like five cookies is £1, and you think, you know, if you're wandering the shops on your lunch, it's so easy and it's such a slippery slope that I'm not surprised why I struggled. You know, you're wandering the shops and you're literally just, you know, they market it very well. It's in your eye line. You know, they know what you want them to see. But we don't have that now. We're not having to go to the shops every day for our lunch to try and decide. And even if we did, we know what options are out there. You know, we know what we can and can't have. And it's so much easier for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's really weird. I've just listened to your thing. I became a member of Anna's group, and I joined at 8 a.m. group on Saturday morning. And in that first year, I lost 4 stone. And I remember one of my local big supermarkets. There was actually a very popular fast food chain inside the supermarket. And I remember sat in the middle of this with all these people with burgers and fries, and I'm there with my black Americano, like planning out the week's food, thinking, I'm on it, I'm on it. But in that first year, I went on eventually also, I stopped drinking as well by choice. And I did a similar thing where I hadn't had a car for 8 years, and I started my own business. And a lot of that was because, like you, I was having takeaways. Probably like 3 times a week, and I try and hold over a bit of takeaway for the next night. I was grabbing and going. I was just going from one sugar wave to the next, and I didn't really have an idea of a plan. And you know what you're saying about how we budget and plan our money, these spreadsheets, often that's more normal for people to talk about, but this idea about planning our food and where do we want those sins, you know, for the flexibility to go. For me, the money and the food seem to be quite closely connected, in that when I don't have any plan, then I'm more likely to spend more and my eating goes a little bit crazy. But you're right, the thing that you get from going to group with Slimming World is almost like that education of, well, how to plan and what to look for. And when you're right, if you're going on a day refereeing, can you take a couple of hot flasks with you, or you know, pre-make your healthy extra bee in a sandwich. It's going to group that gives us like the tools to navigate around these situations.
Definitely.
But yeah, even refereeing and stuff like that, as you pick up on, so often if I'm doing sort of two or three games a day, maybe that I'm doing one immediately from group, so I rush off there. And I know that between the sort of first game and the second game, I'm probably eating my healthy extras with sort of hi-fi bars. I'll have a banana and a bottle of water, and I know that I'm pretty much good to go then for another 90 minutes. And by the time I'm then finished and home, we're sort of settling down to have either a late lunch or we're having sort of dinner together. I think you sort of plan your sin and hex allowance just around what your day is. So if you're gonna have sort of a busy day, but you need energy in the afternoon, you may decide that you're gonna have your sort of healthy extra around lunchtime, or your sort of B choice around lunchtime rather than having it first thing in the morning, because you know at sort of 2, 3 o'clock you may be hungry again, and if you don't have sort of access to that food, you then start to struggle. But it's all just about sort of planning and knowing where you're using your sort of sins and being mindful of what you're eating through the day.
You make it sound so simple, but I think what you guys have done is you've really made it like a project. You've really thought about it and how it needs to work for you. And I think that's why you've been so successful, because you've taken it so seriously. And that can be such a hard thing to do. But we often talk to people who have been very successful in their weight loss journey. And they say to us, like, actually, what kept us going was buying into the fact that these changes were having such an impact. Losing weight became addictive. Like, have you found the more successful you are, the more successful you want to be with it?
Initially, Soph and I treated things a bit like a game. The first couple of shopping trips, just sort of group and stuff, we'd spend 2, 3 hours in the shops using the app.
Yeah, checking everything, which was great at the time because it's what we had to do, but.
So we were really sort of trying to get our head around how everything worked. So the foundations we set out right from the outset was, we know these things are okay for us to eat. We know these things we can have in moderation, and these things we're probably going to avoid because we don't want to just sort of use unnecessary sins on it. So we set that out right from the outset, and we really sort of stuck with it. And they've sort of remained our foundation throughout. So we know the real basics down to a T, and the rest of it sort of just filtered in and followed in. But like when we set out, if Sophie asked me how much I wanted to lose in the first year, I just said 2 or 3 stone. Because in my head, I was like, oh, I could get down to sort of 18 stone, 17 stone, and I'd maybe look better and feel different, but still sort of be like, yeah, that's an appropriate weight. As the weight kept dropping off, it was a bit like, oh, okay, now I'm getting used to this, that the clothes are shrinking, that you're dropping from sort of triple XL to double X. Double X becomes sort of XL and stuff like that. And you do get used to those sort of on-scale victories, but also the off-scale victories or non-scale victories.
I think, especially for us not living together at the beginning, Slimming World is so accessible. There's meals that are available for you. If you are a bit overwhelmed in that beginning because there is so much information to take in, baby steps, you could try some of the meals and see how you feel about those. And there is those right conveniences, the things that you can reach for, which are, I know I heavily relied on the meals in the beginning because living with my parents still, it wasn't something, we were still doing food shopping together, and they knew that if they got me a meal, it was something that I could have. They weren't giving me something that I couldn't and then feeling guilty about it. They knew that that was something that they could do for me, which is such a lovely thing to be able to do. They were still supporting me by, providing that, and it's so accessible for people. If you get those foundations, even if it's just trying the meals and then, trying the recipe for it, introducing that meal into your week, but you cooking it, and then, there's little steps that you can take, and I think that really worked for me, and I think that definitely will help a lot of other people as well, because it's such an easy step for people to take, just to try them.
Very
Yeah,
true.
and that's a really good message, isn't it, for this episode? This idea of, why put off? Why wait? Why, what can you do to make that commitment? I think is the word that, we're hearing from Sam and Sophie about just making that commitment that it may not be this perfect linear journey that we all hope weight loss is going to be, but by Christmas, by the new year, you could be closer to where you want to be and how you want to feel than you currently do today. And it can be, like you say, celebrating the little things, Anna, like just people turning up to look online and go on the website, slimminworld.co.uk. Is there a group nearby you? There could be multiple groups. What time, what day is going to be best for you? The digital only option as well. I mean, Anna, there's so many different options for people to check out now.
I was just thinking, I don't know how many people know this, but you can just come to greet. You can just come and have a look around, come and sit there, have the new member talk, see what groups are like. Because, for me, I sat in a car park of six different groups. I was that terrified. So, if group is something you're curious about, come and give the consultant a ring or a text. If you think group's not something like that, that's for me, the online offering is incredible. So it's finding your place, isn't it? And knowing what's right for you. And I think the thing that I've loved, I've been a member 25 years now, is how easy it is to get started with things like the Iceland range or the Slimming World Kitchen, getting the magazine and doing those recipes. You can take it as fast or as slow as you want to take it. It's at your pace, and you are in control of that. So that was a really important thing that people should know.
Well, Sam, Sophie, it's been brilliant meeting you. I mean, there were whole sections of that podcast. Me and Anna didn't need to say anything. You got the, you've swallowed the script already.
Once you get us started, it's difficult to stop. We very much ramble and
Yeah.
happy to go off on
Paralysis.
many tangents.
Get you in as a stand-in when we need a holiday. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, I'll do it. We'll cover it. We'll cover
Yeah,
it. Give us the cues and what to say, and we'll
it.
mainly
Give you
give
a
me the
note.
prompt because I'm terrible for
Write
remembering.
down all the names,
Yeah,
because it's
give me the main
terrible.
names that I need and the key words, and I'll be fine.
Sounds like you got most of them sorted. I mean, I'm sure as you head through the next year as title winners, you're going to go to the ball. You're going to get to meet all kinds of people. Margaret Miles Bramwell. I mean, it's going to be
Yeah.
amazing. You will know all the terms by then,
You're going to have to polish the act a bit more once you get there.
Look, it's been great meeting you. We will share some photos. Is it okay if we get that photo of you guys that you staged, that you mentioned earlier, where you restaged it? We'd love to share that on our Instagram at Slimmer World Podcast. Just to, I think that's such a powerful, statement to make, isn't it? Of this is what we did. Right. Well, thank you so much, and keep us posted about what happens with the wedding. We hear
Will
the
do. Yeah, will
bells.
do.
We could be your officiants. You. We could marry you. You know, we could take this full circle.
Oh my goodness.
Full podcast. If Slim and Roar want to fund some of it, we got no issues with that.
Plan, guys.
We'll be the karaoke part of the reception. Yeah. That's where we would be best.
Toastmasters.
Okay, well, go forth. Have a great week. Start your September with a bang. And hey, I'm going to end with this. It's only a few days over, 100 days to Christmas. What are you going to do? Bye for now.
Bye!